The stats show that nearly half of all prisoners return to the clink within a few years of their release. State and federal authorities have worked for years to figure out a way to reduce that rate, which winds up costing society tens of millions of bucks every year. Enter the Turnaround Program, which has earned a reputation as a premier prison reentry program. The program boasts a 96% success rate and serves more than 1,500 ex-offenders annually from prisons in Missouri and Kansas. Joining us now to talk about the Turnaround Program are Jeff Page, who's a caseworker there. Jeff, nice to have you.
Thank you, Steve.
Andre is also with us. He's a past client who's no longer in the program. Nice to have you, too. Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, a 96% success rate, Jeff, why does it work that well?
Well, this is a reentry program where we try to help people as much as we can with housing, jobs, and especially just getting them settled so that they can make a good life for themselves once they get out of prison.
So you're covering all the bases here, and that's the key to a program like this. Folks worry about housing when they get out. They worry about jobs, and you guys deal with all those things.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yes. The success rate may be a little less than you mentioned, but we now have over 200 people in case management, and we work with them pretty intensively and do everything we can to help them get settled.
And that intensive kind of one-on-one work, I gather, Jeff, is sort of the key here?
Yes, it is. I think statistics will show around the country that reentry programs really take a bite out of crime. They really make public safety be increased because you're working with people one-on-one and you're really helping them to avoid that revolving door of going back to prison.
You know, Andre, you were in this program. What's your take here? I mean, why has it been so successful from your vantage point?
Because I believe it's been being successful due to people showing an interest in individuals that's been in the situation such as myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming out of the institution after doing 22 and a half years, it's been a person like me or been in this situation need somebody that's not really attached to take interest.
Mm-hmm.
And with the turnaround program, that's what ended up happening.
You know, you always hear about prisoners who have been in for a long time, and you always hear that at the time when they're getting out, Andre, that they're scared, which is just the opposite of what most folks who haven't been to prison might think, that, you know, if someone's getting out after a long time, you think they'd be thrilled. But why would someone be scared?
Because of the overall change after mm-hmm. being gone. For every year that a person is incarcerated, it's like they set 3 years behind in time. So
wow.
Coming back out here, you know, I mean, you know, when I came out, it was right during the winter. Okay, so the leaves was gone off the trees, and you have more of a shadow that you see on the ground opposed to in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is the type of things that you have to readjust to because you're seeing the overall change of everything.
Mm-hmm.
The city, like for instance, when I came home, the city has been greatly developed.
Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
Everything looked different.
It was greatly different.
Mm-hmm.
When I left, there wasn't a highway running down through the middle of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't this big old thing that I call a saucer downtown, which is the Sprint Center.
It does look like a big saucer,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, like exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, looking at the overall change of the city, you come in, you come in back to a place you no longer know.
Mm-hmm.
And
you think you know it, but you don't know
right,
it anymore.
Right, exactly. So, you know, people tend to fear the unknown.
Yeah. Well, when you got out, what was the thing you worried about the most? I mean, was it getting a job? Was it finding a place to live? What was weighing on you the most at that point?
At that point, when I came home, my biggest concern was finding assistance. I knew what it was I needed to do in
mm-hmm.
order to be successful. But at the same time, I needed some support. Family, having family support, that's one thing. You know, I mean, family's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You need somebody that has a mutual position to where they not so much acting because they family.
Yeah.
I mean, they you find somebody that have a mutual position dealing with you then you can go a little further because they have no real interest in you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they helping you because they care.
Well, what year did you go into prison?
It was 1986.
And where were you housed?
I was at MSP, which later on they turned into JCCC.
That's Jefferson City?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to MCC, which is Mobley Correctional Center, and from there to TCC, which is Tipton. And that's where I came home from.
Mm-hmm. Did you share a cell with somebody else? What was your living arrangement like there?
It was double cells. My first 2 years, I shared a cell.
Mm-hmm.
After that, then I was in a single man cell. And predominantly for the 10 years that I was in MSP, I was in a single man cell.
And what was it as bad in prison as everyone is sort of led to believe that it is?
At that particular time, before they actually converted to JCCC, it was real rough. It was still rough. I mean, you had the norms of prison going on, the stabbings, the extortions, and et cetera. Anything that keeps you on a low run of thought, you had all of that going on.
And so you're nervous, what, all the time?
Until you adjust to it, mm-hmm. And then you more so kind of put yourself in a position to where you try not to deal with it.
Yeah.
But if it comes your way, you had to deal with it. You know. So it was the normal run of.
When you got out, how much money did you have to your name?
I think I came home when they started mandatory savings. I think I managed to save up like $600, and that was on the mandatory. That was them, the new thing that they started up for inmates that was about to be released.
Mm-hmm.
They take 10% of their earnings and they put it into a frozen account for release.
That doesn't go very far.
No, it doesn't. Not when you come home, you need your basic necessities, underclothes, a few yeah. clothing items, toiletries or whatever.
So how did you end up connecting them with Turnaround, Andre, once you got out of prison?
Well, strange as it was, when I came home, I've tried other support groups. And one of those groups, one that I thought that I'd really be able to get into, told me that they couldn't help me because I was what they deemed to be a violent offender.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued to search. And
'cause you knew you needed some help.
Right.
As you're saying here, you needed someone to give you a lift.
I needed the help. More so to help my measure of stability, because
yeah.
it's like a gas tank. You know, you drive a car so long, the gas hands start dwindling towards E. And
you could feel your own reserves going
yeah.
away. Well, why? I'm just amazed. Why didn't the prison system connect you with this program, Turnaround? Because that only would make sense to me. Why are you out in the streets looking for help?
Well, as bad as this may sound towards the institutions, the institution goes against their agenda.
I don't understand that.
The institution is to hold you down. That's their overall job, is to hold you down.
Keep you down, keep you manageable
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah.
yeah.
The more that they keep you in a position to where you're willing to act up, is what they call, some of the COs call it job security. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, more people go to prison, the more jobs there are going to be.
And you're saying that's just the opposite of where these places have got to be.
Right.
And you hear about all these problems with reintegration. Well, here's a problem staring us right in the face, right?
Right? And if they offered something like, if they made information ready available for the inmates within the institution concerning Turnaround and allow this to be filtrated into the institution, they'll find out the recidivism rate will be a lot lower. a lot lower.
But your point is, you're saying that maybe the centers, the prison system wants the recidivism rate to be high because it keeps them in business, keeps them going.
Yes, sir, most definitely.
Jeff, you buy that idea? Does that make sense?
Well,
that's kind of a, you don't want to hear that. That's not where we need to be.
No, not a bit. The Missouri reentry process started a few years ago, and I actually think they're really making an effort across the whole system to reduce the recidivism. The Catholic Charities Turnaround Program is just one of the several good reentry programs here in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
People like Andre here have just been models. Coming out and setting an example for other people.
But he's having to search for it. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You guys should be in neon letters in front of these folks when they come out of prison that you're there and ready to help. That's what you're here for.
Yeah. Our director, Rita Flynn, has been with us for over 10 years. And Rita was in the Missouri Correction System and retired as a supervisor in a parole office. And when she started going into the prison systems, people would come out asking for Rita at Catholic Charities. We had people, there was a lull there where people weren't going into the system for a while, but they are now. I mean, we have people going back in at least twice a month now to the system.
And letting people know that your program's available.
That's correct.
Turnaround is here and you're available. I would think that the prison system would supply you all with a list of ex-inmates who were in the Kansas City area and urging you to reach out to them.
That's right. And we're getting referrals now from the parole officers and case managers in the prison system.
But this is a new development, you're saying.
Well, it's been going on for the last couple of 3 years. Yes.
But, you know, we've been talking about this problem on this program for years, and you're telling me that just this notion that the prison system is letting you all know that folks like Andre are on the streets again and need your help, you're just hearing about them the last 2 or 3 years. This should have been going on for 40 years.
Possibly so, but we started as a small program. There was just Rita Flynn, the director. That was it. And we've since, through donations and grants, we've been able to expand and try to reach out to more people.
This kind of stuff makes me crazy. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Am I seeing this right, Andre? Makes no sense.
I agree with you 100% that it's something that should have been going on 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it would have broke down the recidivism rate, the overturn would have been extremely low.
Well, when you finally hooked up with Turnaround, Andre, tell us what your mindset was, how badly you needed them at that point, and what they were able to provide for you that was so important.
As strange as it is, or it may sound, Jeff was my case manager.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, Jeff brought a balance. He brought the balance that I needed.
What did he say to you? How did he help
you? If me dealing with the realness of the world, okay, because when I was younger, I work a job, but I wouldn't keep a job. I didn't have a problem finding a job, but I wouldn't keep a job.
Because?
I would quit a job.
Just weren't crazy. you wanted something new all the time.
I was living for the excitement.
Yeah.
And, you know, and more so when I had a job, it was because my father probably got tired, you know, and then, hey, you need to do something. And I mean, you need to do something like now. So I get a job, and when I seen that he was okay, then I quit the job.
Yeah.
So, but when I finally made my way around to Catholic Charities and met Jeff, it was what I needed. Jeff didn't only help me in his professional capacity as my case manager. Jeff also had became a friend to me. Mm-hmm. And during the roughest time, me and Jeff can hold conversations and we can laugh, taking me away from the realness of everything, giving me an opportunity to reevaluate and think on certain issues to move forward. And like I mentioned earlier, it was like the debriefing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think every individual that's coming out of the institutions back to society should go through a debriefing process.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blessed and fortunate in a lot of regards to meet Jeff as well as Rita Flynn, because it gave me the balance that I was looking for.
Jeff, how did you help him? What do you take us back to those days? How did you help Andre?
Well, you hear a lot about professional counseling. One of the most important things is just being a good listener.
Mm-hmm.
And Andre really had a good self-esteem. He had support from his family when he first came out. A lot of people don't have that.
So he had a lot of good things going for him.
Yeah, yes, he did. And he started right off. He didn't find a job within the first month or two. But after that, he got a part-time job, and he stuck with it. And through a lot of perseverance, I mean, he is doing terrific. He's a supervisor now and had a full-time job for several years. And
How tough was it to find that first job coming out, Andre?
I went on like, let's say I came home January the 2nd.
Of what year?
Of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was on like a two and a half month run before I found the first job. I had
Were you worried about it? Was it getting tough?
Not really. Locally, yeah. But because I had several job offers, but I just couldn't get to them.
Meaning?
I didn't have transportation at that time. And then at the same time, I didn't have a planned bus route that probably could get me to the area which the jobs were being offered to me.
Because you came out of prison in the teeth of the recession. You know, things were getting bad, and here you come.
Yeah. And even though things was getting rough at that time, I still had those offered me a job. But like I said, I just couldn't get to them.
Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls here. Caroline from Overland Park. Caroline, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm listening to Andre mention the alphabet soup of the institutions he was involved in.
Yeah.
And the recurring letters that come up are CCC. And I know that the Correctional Corporation of America has an obligation to their shareholders to make sure that they can give them a good return on investment. And I think that mandatory minimums makes a good insurance for them to be able to do that. And I was wondering about one thing, the relationship between mandatory minimums and the corporations that the prisons are founded on, and as well as I spoke with a young man who was involved in prison labor while he was incarcerated.
Caroline, you got to go quick here. I got to get to a question.
Yeah. And he went to the same corporation to get a job after he was released from prison, and they told him no because he was a felon. He could not go to the same company that employed him in prison to get a job once he was out. Is anyone doing anything about that?
Just quickly, Jeff, what is the correlation between what she's talking about, the corporation that runs a lot of these prisons and the mandatory minimums?
Well, we don't have that in Missouri. I mean, it's run by the State Department of Corrections here in Missouri.
The state system you're talking about.
The state system, yes. Mm-hmm. Some states do contract their imprisonment out, but I don't know if that's proved out to be a good investment for the state.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're glad that turnaround's around. That's sort of the moral of the story here today, right, Andre?
Most definitely.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for taking some time. Continued success to you, okay?
All right.
Jeff, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Good to
have you, too. That's Jeff Page. He's a caseworker with the Turnaround Program at Catholic Charities. Andre is one of their success stories. So good to have them both here. You can learn more about our guests and get more information about our show at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Tomorrow on the show, an in-depth look at one of the biggest drug busts in Kansas City history. The show is produced by Steven Steigman. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.